It's business time. It's business. It's business time.
I don't know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time.
Ooh, it's business. It's business time.
Yes, it's time for the Download on Chicago Business, sponsored by Signature Bank. This is our weekly segment where we talk with CEOs and entrepreneurs about their stories so we can better understand ours. Tonight, the business of investing, specifically in female-owned and operated startups. The firm Diamond is launching a new campaign to get women more involved in investing. A study from 2013 showed that women only represented 19% of all angel investors in the United States. Diamond is a financial firm that helps women with financial empowerment. Diamond CEO Carolyn Leonard was one of the first traders on the Chicago Board of Options Exchange, and she's translated her experience into Diamond and Diamond Angels, built with the goal to not only get more women involved in investing, but to invest in female-led startups. The goal is to raise close to $2 million. CEO Carolyn Leonard and Chief Strategy Officer Monica Black in studio tonight. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So let's start. I want to start, Carolyn, with your story, because I think when we talk about the financial industry in Chicago, we talk about CBOE and other places, There's a storied tradition, but some of the issues, especially when it comes to gender equality, they go way back. I mean, you faced those when you started in the business as a trader.
Right. I started in 1976, and at that time, there weren't female traders trading actively on the floor of the Chicago Board of Options Exchange. And when I decided that if men could make that kind of money trading, obviously there was opportunity down there. I didn't understand, however, that there were tremendous barriers just based on gender. And when I first started trading, some of the very largest brokers who handle public paper came up to me and they said, you know, sweetheart, it's wonderful that you came down here, but I've never traded with a woman. I'm not going to trade with you. And by saying that, it emboldened other men to say, oh, if you're not trading with her, none of us
was it to. Just. Was it just brutish, piggish behavior, or what was their rationale? Were they just chauvinistic guys in 1976?
I think it was a lot more bias. And today we have unconscious bias. There it was very conscious. And they felt that if they could, they could get rid of me because, access to earn a living meant access to a paper to trade. And so I had to figure my way around.
How did you do it? I mean, with being one of the only females on the floor, how did you get past the idea of these barriers, these walls?
Well, I decided that being a woman was a real problem. You ain't seen nothing yet, boys. And so I went into my closet. I was newly divorced. I had been married to a very successful man. I had an incredible wardrobe. And every morning I'd reach into my wardrobe, and it may look like a very pretty feminine dress, but that was armor. And I went down on that floor in 4-inch stilettos and a very lovely suit of armor because we were at war. And what started to happen is people, because there weren't women, would say, oh, you got to see what she's wearing today. And so brokers that didn't know, because I was a woman, they shouldn't trade with me, would have paper. They'd come in the pit. They'd stand next to me because they wanted to see what I had on that day. And because they were standing next to me, they would talk to me. And because they talked to me, they traded with me. So I was able to overcome a lot of that guys not wanting to trade with me because I was a woman. And one of the funniest things is that other brokers that wouldn't trade with me would run after the broker that filled paper and had me on that ticket. And he would say, we don't trade with her. And of course, the ego of the other guy would be, well, nobody tells me who I don't trade with.
Right.
So for sure, they traded with me.
Well, Monica, I, listening to that story, you want to believe it's an isolated or it's a bygone era. Hmm. You want to think about Carolyn's story that she's talking about and how she had to persevere past barriers, climb walls and get and actually knock walls down. But as we talk about the tech industry and startups and everything in between right now, those issues of trying to narrow the gender gap, they're still there. And it's surprising with some of the stats that I was even looking at today. It seems to be festering.
It is festering. And I think as we've gotten into this and spoken with a lot of female entrepreneurs out there, to hear the stories that, you know, listen, we thought that maybe it had gotten a little bit better, but really the stories were just quiet and there wasn't enough safe space for people to talk about it. And so a lot of the barriers that female founders, small business owners are experiencing, they're not being understood by the male investors. And the male investor doesn't see the solution to the problem that she's solving as a one that's relevant or reasonable. And a lot of that is because he doesn't deal with those problems. And so we just have a lot of unconscious bias. We have a lot of conversations that we need to have where we need to bridge the gap so that men understand the problems that women face every day. Therefore, the solutions that she has are actually viable solutions. We've heard from founders that they struggle to help investors understand that there's even a market in a particular area. They're spending time just justifying the market when the market's already been proven. Mm. And you could go up to five potential female investors and they'd go, oh, absolutely,
it
I understand.
Very similar to what you were just talking about with paper and everything, that there seems to be some people that are just automatically behind the times or naysayers.
Right. And one of the things when it comes to investing is that people tend to invest in people that look like them. So for women to as founders or entrepreneurs, for them to have access to equity, we have to build up more women investors in that space.
You know, there's so many stats that I came across, and I mentioned one at the top of the show, the idea that for every $100 that is invested into male led startups, $3 of that same money is in female led startups. Is that because there's not enough female investors in the pool that guys are comfortable in investing in their gender, like you just mentioned, the idea that how they look like, or is there something else at play?
Well, a large part of it is that women do solve problems. They don't create an app that's really going to be the best dating app you've ever seen. They're looking to solve a real-life situation problem. And people do invest in people who look like themselves. The other thing is that if you're a minority, if you're African-American, if you're Hispanic, Latino, a male can get $1.3 million from a venture capital firm, and an African-American woman can get $36,000. So that statistics are even more glaring and difficult with the more factors of diversity you have.
And the other thing, and we mentioned this a little bit in right before we came on air, but this idea that there's also the bias of an industry of money managers and others who may want to dissuade women from becoming investors because, as they say, it's too risky, or they find a way to maybe talk women out of riskier ventures and instead of saying go for it with guys.
Well, this is one of the things we found in Diamond when we began 5 years ago and really started focusing on challenges that women were facing in the relationship with money. And regardless of net worth, one thing that stood out to us is that women are often seen just in the financial industry as not being competent. And, oh, sweetie, we'll take care of your money for you. And so because of that, the sort of overall judgment about risk in women is, oh, women aren't as risky as men. And we really have pivoted the game on that because we think women take risks all the time. We are willing to invest in each other and support each other in amazing ways. And if you look at that and the fact that we really want to invest our values, then angel investing becomes a natural opportunity and fit. So I think if you look at things and not the sort of traditional patriarchal model of finance, and you look at how women work in their relationship with money and how they want to leverage their money to help what we call at Diamond their care network, the people that they feel emotionally and financially responsible for, but also to invest in those values, this is a natural bridge for her. And as Carolyn mentioned earlier, there's less risk when you actually invest in female founders because she's had to bootstrap so much longer that by the time she's actually sinking money, she's already got product out there.
Right. That's Chief Strategy Officer Monika Black and CEO Carolyn Leonard, both of Diamond. We're talking about their goal of trying to raise just about $2 million coming up here to help with female-led startups here in the area, but also elsewhere. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back, and we'll continue the conversation with Diamond in studio in the Download of Chicago Business. Stay with us.
It's business time.
It's a Download on Chicago Download in Chicago Business, sponsored by Signature Bank, here on the Download 720 WGN. CEO Carolyn Leonard and Chief Strategy Officer Monica Black from Diamond in studio tonight, talking about the goal to not only get more women involved in investing, but to invest in female-led startups. The campaign, the 1920 Vote Your Money campaign, we'll get into that in just a second. I found it interesting to work. I mean, a lot of what Diamond does, you talk about financial empowerment.
Yeah.
And the root word there is power. Right. And I think about the not only the abuses of power that you talked about being on the trading floor, the exchange floor, but also money managers and others and men saying, don't worry, sweetheart, I'll take care of your money. But there, it seems like power when it comes to the financial industry and finances, it's a hard nut to crack.
Absolutely. And there's a paternalistic attitude about it. In fact, if you look at the industry and you look at just vocabularies for products and stuff like that, it's mind-boggling. It's hard to wrap your brain around exactly what it is. They use acronyms. They have their own special language with everything. And these are all barriers to entry. And we know that women, unless they can check every box in terms of knowledge, will think, oh, I just don't know enough.
Right.
And so rather than being empowered, they feel, oh, I'm just not as literate as I should
be. People take advantage of that discomfort.
Absolutely. But when we look at the data, it's women know as much as men know. Men are just better at that act of confidence and making people think that they know a little bit more. And so if we can also understand that each woman has an emotional relationship with money, most women are making most of the financial decisions at home. Most women are making the healthcare decisions at home, where their children are going to go to school. If you factor up all these different components and you help women to see, actually, I've been managing our family's money for all these years without getting credit for it, then each woman really is her own CFO. And that's our model. That's what we want each woman to understand, that she is not only making those decisions for herself, but for her family, but for her community as well. And she deserves the right service model.
When we talk about the campaign, because I mentioned that the goal is really to raise close to $2 million, but it starts with the 1920 Vote Your Money campaign. Talk about this, why it's named the 1920 Vote Your Money campaign, yeah, but also the goal.
The 1920 campaign, because that's when the 19th Amendment was ratified. That was not when everybody got the right to vote, but it was the beginning. And just like getting more women involved and running in managing their finances from a position of strength and power, it's a process to help women get there. And we want her to be in charge and understand that she has a lot of power in her purse. Women are on track to control $22 trillion of investable assets by 2020. We're not a niche market. We are powerful, and we just have to step up to the plate and understand that in our relationship with money, it, like any relationship, we're in the driver's seat instead of deferring to somebody that we view as having power, like a financial advisor.
And so right now for the campaign, we're starting with our first 100 days. And so we're asking 100 women to contribute $1,000 in 100 days to kick off this campaign. We think it's really important where Chicago's got so many female founders, thriving female-led organizations, that this is our opportunity to say, hey, look, Chicago, we're seriously invested in this, and this is our greatest opportunity, and we are looking for a collective impact for women. After the 100-day campaign, we're going to have opportunities for all women in Chicago to invest at different levels.
And the goal is to raise money for the campaign so you can give money back to female-led startups.
Absolutely. Yes, 20 female-led startups throughout Chicago and the Midwest, so we'll be putting together an investment committee of leading diverse professionals throughout Chicago, of course coming from the perspective of how women like to work together and how we invest in our money, and we'll make those impacts in those organizations.
You know, I have so many different people on the program. We talk about the tech industry here. We talk about the startup scene. Mm-hmm. Howard Tolman from 1871 talked not too long ago about how it's a major part, the industry is a major part of the Chicago economy.
Right.
How has it moved? I mean, for both of you, I mean, how has Chicago moved? And when we see these great things about the numbers and the fact that there's a whole industry that's created here, especially around technology, those issues that we're talking about for women in the business, have they gotten any better? Or is this just the tip of the iceberg and we need to know more?
They have not gotten any better for women. I mean, if you consider that women are getting $2.90 for every 100 a man has gotten, and that isn't moving right now, and that's one of the reasons why We want to launch the 1920 campaign because we want to change that number, and we want women to have access.
The only reason I ask is a kind of a new industry. You know, so that's, it's like, right. you could right the wrongs of the past. You can right the wrongs of, you can't say, yeah, about the tech industry in Chicago. Well, you know, it started back in the 50s.
That's right.
It's new. So the fact that it's already started with rampant sexism is not a good start.
No, it's not a great start. But I think, you know, change takes time. I do think we can give credit to Chicago for a lot of the female focused initiatives that are out there. But the reality is there's decisions to make those investments still happen behind the same closed doors. And that's where change has to really happen. And there has to be a higher level of accountability. It is a new industry, but a lot of the people who have the capacity or feel that they have the capacity to become angel investors, they still play an old boys game.
Yeah.
And what's interesting right now in Chicago, there's a very successful female entrepreneur. She's going out. She's trying to raise $750,000. She's pregnant. The question she gets is, can you be a mother and run, be the CEO? Now, they're not asking any man who's going to be a dad.
No.
Can you be a dad and still be the CEO?
And here's the way that women look at that, right? If we have more female funders out there, that female funder says, you know what? Not only do I know you can do it, but I know that you'll be a better quality leader for not only being a mom, but also understanding the values and needs of your kids and your community and the fact that you founded this company.
Yeah.
That means you're a better quality leader.
Well, the campaign that just started is the 1920 Vote Your Money campaign. You can find all this at the website.
Yeah, Dymond, DYMYND.com.
CEO Carolyn Leonard and Chief Strategy Officer Monica Black in studio with Dymond. Thanks you so much for being
Thank
my guest
you.
Tonight. Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Yeah.